gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, part two of the Jeremy and Patrick Show on the Public Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the post office of free speech. You go down to RBN and you've got some free speech that you want to just mail freely, and the next thing you know, you're caught in the crossfire of disgruntled postal workers as they go postal. But with any luck, you won't be murdered, and you will be able to send a check or well-concealed cash to RBN at, what is the address there, Jeremy?
Well, I pulled up the donations page, and I don't see the address listed anymore, but you can send that to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. They've got the address in the contact page instead of the donate page. That's fine. And if you want to donate and you need specific instruction, then you can call them into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And do not put RBN on the check or money order. Leave the pay to blank. And RBN will handle that. So they're still sort of working out some bugs in the system as far as taking donations in. PayPal is all good, though. From what I've been told last, you can donate on PayPal, just as usual.
Okay, and we do need the money. So we send it in. I've got my cash in a well-concealed envelope, and we'll be sending it in. All right, so, of course, co-certified. You hear all about co-certified. I'm sure you've heard it. You've heard it on the ads. You've heard me talking about it. And now you get to hear me talking about it again. So download the co-certified app from nationalbugle.com. The number one site for downloading the co-certified app. We're number one. All right, so Jeremy, what do we have left over from last night?
Well, we were talking about the pushback in Virginia and all of this, you know, on the heels of parents going to school boards, complaining about critical race theory, which is actually should be known as anti-white hatred theory. And also
or complaining about hatred reality.
Reality. Yes, it is a reality. It's a policy, anti-white hatred policy. It's an official policy.
Yeah, actually, that's even better.
And that and complaining about pornographic material, homosexual material in children's libraries. And so we just covered last night on In Plain Sight, also known as Pastor and Jeremy Part 1, that the Spotsylvania County School Board voted to unanimously to remove all sexually explicit books from their libraries. That led us into a discussion about states pushing back and how the system actually is working until you get corporations that come in and, you know, powerhouse their way and kick these states around. It's almost as if that these corporations are the bully or are the golem for the system. And that instead of this is not communism, because in communism you would have the state controlling the means of production and the corporations. In this instance, you have sort of the corporations controlling the state. And my question then, I wonder how corporations could get around this and come in and punish Virginia. I wonder if we're going to see that on the horizon. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you've seen it, for instance, with in Georgia with the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which I don't think there's been a decent All-Star game since 1969 when Willie McCovey hit a couple of home runs. Frank Howard, he smashed the clock that they had in center field with his home run. That was an All-Star game. They haven't had an All-Star game since then. But they pressured they got Major League Baseball to move the All-Star game because Georgia had passed a voter ID law. And so then what happens? Then all these corporations, one after another, I think Delta Airlines, which has, they have a major hub in Atlanta. What were they moving like flight. They were just, all this stuff was going on, and this is not new. This has been going on forever. And when David Duke ran for governor of Louisiana, and he was doing well, and it looked like he might actually win, then you got all of these. What was it? Oh, you had, for instance, the doctors, AMA, the American Medical Association, which was going to have a convention in New Orleans. And, you know, doctors are rich, and get a lot of doctors together, they're going to spend a lot of money, you know, a lot of hookers and cocaine. And you know, they threatened to boycott. So this stuff has been going on and on and on. And, you know, the flip side of the boycott stuff, the flip side of it is, look what happened during the Summer of Love. You had all these corporations giving money to BLM, or giving money to Susan Rosen, what's her name, Rosenberg, who, you know, who knows what she was doing with it. But yeah, they shake down. Well, you could call it a shakedown, but is it really a shakedown? Does BLM really scare Amazon and Facebook? Are they really afraid?
No. I mean, no, they're funded by them. They're funded by corporations like Walmart, you know, Amazon. And, you know, once again, BLM and Antifa, who are the shock troops, the foot soldiers, the police of the system, the new police.
The biatches of the system.
The biatches. They're funded by these corporations. So it's a way for the system to get around all of the great checks and balances that our founding fathers put into the government. Corporations can just roll right over that. Like we mentioned last night, you know, North Carolina back 5-6 years ago did the bathroom law that stopped boys from going in girls' bathrooms, and they were boycotted, you know, on a corporate level, and North Carolina had to recant and get rid of that law. But now I'm wondering if there's too many states. There's too many states pushing back, and these corporations may not have the effect. Even if they do, you know, are the corporations going to boycott 12 states? I don't know. But we got this thing in Florida. I was mentioning it last night. The CenterSquare.com, it says that Florida lawmakers will convene a November session to ban private employer vaccination mandates at the behest of Governor DeSantis before the Occupational Safety and Health Administration can craft rules to implement private employer vaccine mandates. Let's see. They're actually questioning whether OSHA is even necessary, you know, or the role of OSHA. And so you got 12 states total doing things like this. It's going to be a lot harder for these corporations, even the corporations, to bully these states if many of them band together.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this all year. You know, we were using the term, well, not just secession, but we're using nullification. And the thing is that the various states are pushing back in different ways. And, you know, you're getting courts ordering this and that. We're at a juncture in American history where things are really up in the air, and you know, different states have been responding very differently to a lot of things. They're responding differently to the corona apocalypse, and you know, Florida's doing less in the way of lockdowns, and then some states are doing a lot more. And you know, you've got a lot of you've got these in a lot of areas vaccine mandates against cops, and you know, you think of some of these places that are already losing cops because of Black Lives Matter, because who wants to be a cop when, if you do your job correctly, you're going to get thrown in jail for the rest of your life? I mean, what's the point? And things are just really completely falling apart. And it's hard to see how they're going to play out. But, you know, there's a lot of things in between the status quo and complete balkanization. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of territory in between that. And it's not necessarily just one state doing something. You know, you've seen states band together. For instance, you had at the beginning, late last year, remember when you had about 20 or so state attorneys general go to the Supreme Court saying you've got to look at the election. You know, they were suing, I guess they were suing Pennsylvania and a couple other states to do some sort of, you know, recount, or they were suing them regarding their elections. And of course, what's her name? Amy Three Names. She didn't, Amy Coney Island Baby.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't hear the case, but you had like 20 states, and it's more or less these same 20 states or so that are going to be allied with each other on a whole bunch of issues. And, you know, there's nullification, there's de-evolution of power. I think Mike Rivera was talking about today the Defense Department trying to get the Oklahoma National Guard to impose a vaccine mandate. And do they really have the power? I mean, should the Defense Department overrule the governor of Oklahoma for the National Guard, which is really the state militia?
And we've mentioned time and again, but it's worth mentioning again, just to let everybody kind of, you know, keep this in mind. I mean, we do have a precedent for this, unfortunately, and that's in Little Rock, you know, in the late 50s when the president nationalized the Guard. The Guard was sent there by the governor to keep black students out of the school, and the president nationalized them, and the Guard then escorted the black students in. And, you know, desegregation was done at gunpoint. So that was the Guard in the 50s. Yeah. What's the Guard going to be like now? But that was one state, too. That was just one state. I wonder what would have happened if you had 20 states. Of course, you know, you didn't have these issues in the northern or western states, really. It was mostly just mid to southern states. But good question. We are in uncharted waters. And what if the federal government turns off the money spigot? Can the federal government survive if the state governments don't pay taxes in? I mean, these are things that I can't answer. I don't know enough about the economy of the nation to really speak intelligently on this.
Well, okay, so you've got if you're talking about taxes, the federal government collects an awful lot of taxes through the federal income tax, and you know there are, you know, corporate taxes, but they collect an awful lot of tax, but the states also collect taxes, right? You know, most states have a state income tax or sales taxes. So you've got the taxation. It's kind of at varied levels, but the trump card perhaps is that the state governments, they have to have balanced budgets, and B, I mean, they can issue a certain amount of like bonds or whatever, but basically have to have, they can't just print money. And it's the federal government that prints money. In the Constitution, the state governments ceded the right to print money. So you've got that. And then the other thing is that, you know, if you're ever talking about some sort of breakup of the United States or states becoming independent, you know, you got things like the Social Security Trust Fund. You got all of these like debts, obligations, or assets, and how do they get divided up? And in the Soviet Union, the thing is, the central government of the Soviet Union had used, like in the Soviet Union, you had these constituent republics. You had these 15 republics that were part of the Soviet Union, and they didn't really have autonomy. They were just simply administrative units, basically. But the tax collection was going through these republics, right? Nobody had really foreseen them going their independent ways or as being independent power centers, but that's what happened in the late 1980s, and they were in a position to actually choke off funds to the central government, to the Soviet government. You had that, and then the other thing is when the Soviet Union broke up, because Russia, the Russian Republic, was so much bigger than all the other republics. You know, it would be as if all of America west of the Appalachians was one state, And then east of the Appalachians, you had 14 other states. That would be the equivalent situation. And we don't have that here. So the Russian Republic took over all of the debts, all of the assets. They just took over everything, and the other 14 republics just got to start with clean slates. And, you know, the Russian Republic had to pay whatever bills were going to be paid. And that was just the way it broke up. That's not going to happen here. So the breakup here would be a lot more challenging for states, I think, because, you know, who's going to be paying the Social Security benefits if it breaks up? It gets complicated.
Right. Isn't there a certain amount of federal budgeting for welfare?
Yeah, there's all sorts of federal programs. I mean, some states obviously are paying more into systems than other states. Some states are richer, some states are poorer, some are paying more in, more out. But it's kind of hard to sort out. But the main thing is there'd be an awful lot of dislocation. Even if you say, oh, well, Kentucky, we're paying more into the system than we're getting back, if that were the case, I don't know. But even if you were to say that, there's still going to be an awful lot of dislocation. It's going to take a lot of time and effort to sort out. Okay, well, if our pensioners aren't getting money from Social Security anymore, we have to set up our own system. But that's not going to be easy, and so we're going to have to send out checks, and are the checks in dollars, or in the checks in Bitcoin, or the checks going to be in renminbi? You know, so there would be an awful lot of dislocation. It would take a while to sort out. And while you're busy sorting out things, a lot of work doesn't get done. A lot of bills don't get paid. A lot of people get disgruntled.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and as a result of the Civil War, the federal government is such a powerful entity and that the states actually rely on. I mean, which was the whole purpose of the Civil War, was to empower the federal government over the states and take away that autonomy. And I don't, you know, I always pictured if any state ever stepped out of line, you just cut the welfare off to that state. And, you know, by the second week, you know, you would have minorities rioting in the streets for not getting their gibbs. Mm. So that would bring a state to its knees, as well as I really think these corporations are powerful enough to just boycott multiple states. And they got a lot of money. And after about week number two or three of not getting your favorite product in to consume, probably you'll have a lot of pushback from everyone in the state. Tough to say, man. A very dicey situation. I am just glad to see pushback, though. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, pushback. I don't know how things are going to sort themselves out. I was talking to a boomer friend of mine today, and you know, he can't see things waiting. He can't see things going on another 3 years, and I guess he's thinking until the next presidential election. But you know, we're in such a state of flux. Things are so unstable. And then you've got, a senile figurehead in the government. Now you can actually go on for a long time with a senile figurehead. And the Soviet Union in the 70s, by the late 70s, Brezhnev was pretty senile. I mean, there's not a lot of these videos, but you can actually see videos of them, like his handlers trying to get him to sit down and make a little broadcast, and he just seems thoroughly lost. But we're up at the break, so we'll be right back after these important commercial messages.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash or a money order with the pay-to line left blank. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Nothing made out to RBN will work, so don't do that. The new accounts are going to be opened soon, and if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Talking about senile boomers, and so what do you have for us, Jeremy?
Well, apparently the defecator in chief, resident Brandon, assures,
and he's not really a boomer, he's too old to be a boomer, but anyway,
he did a Zoom call with President Xi in China and assured the Chinese leader that the U.S. will defend Taiwan. And wasn't near as belligerent as Biden usually is in the news with all this anti-China stuff. But this Taiwan thing, it said in the article, the U.S. is not giving ground on that. This is an RT Russia Today article. Biden and Xi agree to avoid conflict. U.S. and Chinese leaders have held a lengthy virtual meeting on Tuesday with Joe Biden. Affectionately known as Go Brandon, and Xi Jinping, expressing readiness to improve strained bilateral relations and make sure that competition does not end in conflict. It says that Biden smiled and waved at Xi as he appeared on screen. Can you imagine like the goofy look on his face when he waved at him? I didn't see the video there. You know, I'm just picturing like when you go to the nursing home and you visit like that one old person that doesn't know where they're at and they just wave and have a big toothless smile. The The competition between our countries does not veer into conflict, whether intended or unintended. That's what Biden says. And it's funny, he's talking like this, trying to really, you know, downplay all of the the kind of comments that he's been making about China. I mean, just basically threatening them openly in the media. And now he's trying to walk it back a little bit. But like I said, they're not giving in an inch on Taiwan. They keep saying, well, if Chinese invade Taiwan, we're going to defend them. What does that even mean? I don't know. This is your area of expertise among many things. What do you got on this? Did you read this article?
Sorry, I did not. Shall I?
I mean, I'm just reading through it now. We're just covering it point by point. Just on the overall, like, if she really wanted to, he could just send troops to Taiwan and be like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, if he really wanted to. Guess what? He hasn't done it. So what does that tell you?
He wants peace. Yeah, he wants peace.
The thing is, the Chinese, like the Jews, have a very long history, and they have a very long-term view of things. And China's been very patient with this whole Taiwan thing. And they feel they can just wait it out, and sooner or later, the Chinese-ness of the people in Taiwan, because they're very Chinese, sooner or later, they're going to want to unite with the mainland. It will happen. That's the feeling. And if the United States wants to, defend Taiwan, the way to do it is just by shutting their mouth. Because, militarily, okay, you can say, what assets does United States have over there? All right, so you got some marine bases in Okinawa, which is pretty close to Taiwan. Pretty close. What would it be? Like about 300 or 400 miles away. And you've got Guam, which is at least 1,000 miles away. And, there's some Air Force bases there, maybe, nuclear stuff. They wouldn't have nuclear silos, but they might, you'd assume nuclear capable aircraft. And then you've got the 7th Fleet or whatever, and their bases in Japan. So you've got some assets. What does China have? It's got China. It's got the whole country. The whole country's right there with 1.3 billion people, with the world's largest army right there. And so, do you really think the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military stationed over in Okinawa or Guam, like hundreds or thousands of miles away, what could they do? It's so silly. And the thing is, Taiwan gets to be a de facto independent country as long as it doesn't declare independence. They can actually exercise independence, except they're not allowed to declare themselves independent. Once they declare themselves independent, then they lose their independence. And they know that. Everybody knows. Everybody who knows anything about the area knows that. And so the Taiwanese they're not about to declare independence, because a declaration of independence is a declaration of war. And not a declaration of independence lets them remain independent, de facto independent. So they gain absolutely nothing by declaring independence. The only circumstance that would happen would be in the midst of some sort of giant chaos that's created from the outside. And the thing is, let's just say for whatever reason, childless cat lady who runs Taiwan declares independence because of whatever. Why would we want to initiate like World War III? So it's all just time. But we're at the break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So what else do we have on this, Jeremy, on the whole Taiwan thing?
Yeah, going on through the article, one of the big points of contention, you know, in this meeting was the U.S. officially or unofficially having ties with the Taipei, arming it. And I'm guessing that the U.S. is putting all of its eggs in that basket if the conflict should erupt or if China should go to Taiwan. I don't want to say invade it. But so, yeah, they're arming Taipei. And so, you know, Xi, once again, not giving any ground himself, said that we are patient and willing to do our utmost to strive for the prospect of peaceful reunification with Taiwan. However, he reiterated to his American counterpart that China would take decisive measures if pro-Taiwan independence forces cross a red line. So I guess by pro-Taiwan independence forces, he's talking about the Taipei. Give me a little bit of background on this arming of Taipei and how dangerous are they really?
Okay, so in 1949, when Chiang Kai-shek lost the Civil War and brought his government, called the Republic of China, when they moved their government to Taiwan, the United States continued to recognize Chiang Kai-shek and that government as the government of all of China until Carter switched recognition to Beijing in 1978 or 79. I can't remember. And so you have 30 years. And during those 30 years, the United States was it recognized Taipei as the capital of China, of all of China, all the mainland. And it was selling them weapons. And, of course, the United States had been allied with Chiang Kai-shek during World War II. It was actually, I know I've talked about it once or twice before, there was a really funny episode where in the middle of World War II, Franklin Roosevelt sent over Wendell Willkie, who had been his opponent, his Republican opponent in the 1940 election. And Wendell Willkie was, you know, a likely opponent in 1944, although Roosevelt was kind of insinuating, well, maybe I'll choose him as vice president, my vice president in 1944. But at any rate, in like 1942 or so, he sends over Wendell Willkie, who he had some sort of relationship with, sends Wendell Willkie over to Nanjing, which was at the time the capital of China. And Wendell Willkie hits it off with Chiang Kai-shek's wife. And the next thing you know, they're about to like elope and run off together. And Chiang Kai-shek is like, storms into Wendell Willkie's hotel looking for his wife. And those were the days. That's when things were cool. But and in the end, well, Wendell Willkie's advisors say, look, if you ever want to be president, you can't elope with the First Lady of China. It's just, you know, this is 1942. You're going to have to wait like 70 years for that kind of tolerance. But at any rate, so they've been arming Taiwan nonstop. And then when Carter switched recognition, Congress passed this Taiwan Relations Act. And the Taiwan Relations Act stipulated that the United States, it would, you know, there would be a like a Taiwan Cultural Center that would be set up in D.C. that could act as a de facto embassy. And the United States would continue to sell arms to the authorities on Taipei, meaning the same government. So we've been selling them weapons nonstop for 70 years, over 70 years, and mainland China has tolerated it. They've tolerated it, but, you know, there's limits to their toleration. And so I'm not sure if the weapon sales have spiked or if they're selling weapons, new types of weapons that they never did before. I don't know if that's happening or not. But, you know, there is a prospect of it when you've got all this pressure from Congress and people in the administration talking about defending Taiwan's independence that they haven't even declared. So this is dangerous, but I'm not sure if any like weapon systems, new types of weapon systems have been sold. And like I say, China has tolerated the United States arming, selling weapons to Taiwan for a long time. And the thing is, Taiwan, it doesn't have enough weaponry to stop China from invading it, but it's got enough weaponry that an invasion would be destructive. And what's the point of a destructive invasion? Why would China want to destroy Taiwan in order to save it? So, you know, it's not mutually assured. It's not like joint mutual assured destruction, but there is an assured destruction of Taiwan that, you know, Taipei has enough weapons that you'd have a big war in Taiwan that would destroy it. And who really wants that?
Well, I guess that's the U.S.'s mentality then is, well, if we can't have it our way, we'll just have destruction. So I would imagine that's probably their line of thinking.
And as I'm pretty sure Taiwan has nuclear power plants. I should check that, but I'm pretty sure they do. And so the idea that you could have that they could slap together some sort of weapon that wouldn't destroy China, but could possibly destroy a Chinese city. I mean, I don't really think that people are mad enough to do that. Because, you know, the people in Taiwan are Chinese. They're Chinese. And, you know, they speak Mandarin Chinese, or the bulk of them speak this Fujian language. But the Fujian language is the same language that's spoken on the other side of the straits by, you know, 100 million people, by, you know, because there's more than one Chinese language. But these are Chinese people, and they have and none of these Chinese people have ancestors going back more than like a few hundred years on Taiwan. These are people from China, and a lot of them are people who came to Taiwan in like 1949. Not the majority, but a big hunk. So these are very, very Chinese people. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is an internal issue of Chinese people.
How about this? In the conference, Biden also raised concerns over human rights to President Xi. That's rich.
I know.
Especially singling out Xinjiang. I messed that one up.
Xinjiang.
Yeah. Tibet and Hong Kong. Xinjiang. So,
is where the Uyghurs are. The Uyghurs. And they're Muslim, Turkic, semi-Oriental looking, kind of pretty Oriental looking, but they're Muslim, Turkic people. And then Tibet, these are very, very Buddhist, mountainy people. And what was the other? Hong Kong. And these are super Chinese.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's none of our business. And honestly, I was in Tibet in the 1980s. And I talked to somebody who was like a friend of the Dalai Lama's who was visiting from the Dalai Lama's in exile in the Himalayan mountains in India on the other side of the border. But this associate of the Dalai Lama was visiting Tibet the same time I was. And I was talking to him. And he, at one point he said, well, honestly, things are a lot better now than they were when we were in charge. The Tibet is in better shape. And, yeah. You know, demographically, the Chinese, like in other minority areas in China, like Inner Mongolia or Manchuria, there's just so many Chinese that the Chinese became the majority. The Chinese might become the majority in a few Tibetan cities, but the thing is, the Tibetan people are, they're like yak herders. And they're rural. They're more than rural. I mean, they're just nomadic. Their lifestyle is not going to be very impacted by Chinese cities or military bases. It's a very large country, and the Tibetan lifestyle has always been herding. They're not urban people.
Well, yeah, and as we've mentioned before, the U.S. really has a lot of gall talking about human rights violations.
Yeah, I think
in the last 5 years.
Does China treat its Uyghurs better than we treat our Uyghurs?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, how about, you know, political prisoners? How many political prisoners does China have that just attended a rally?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at China. You know, they had Tiananmen Square and things like that. They've had their episodes, but honestly, and my it's like, for me, it's like whatever. I mean, it's China. They can do China, but they're not doing us, okay? And the Chinese aren't behind critical race theory, and the Chinese aren't behind immigration into the United States, and the Chinese aren't forcing us to take the vax. And you know, we got our problems. We got to deal with our problems, and China can do China.
Well, more to come on the possible conflict in Taiwan. See how that plays out. We've got emails, and we have the Grinch that stole Christmas in Gibraltar. What's your flavor?
Let's do Gibraltar first.
Okay. Apparently, they're going to be canceling Christmas. I didn't even have a chance to take a look at this one yet. And of course, they are the most highly vaccinated country, according to what I have read. This is also from Russia Today. A lot of our news sources anymore are from RT.
Yeah.
The second most trusted name in news.
It really is. Or it's up there. It's up there.
The first being the Stormer, of course.
It's the Stormer. And honestly, I mean, if you went to a place like Unst.com, you know, the Ron Unst's site, there's some other good sites up there, out there. But, RT, in terms of, like, well-funded general news sites, RT is pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, I like Revolver too, but RT seems to have they're a little bit more organized. But
well,
anyway,
they're not just a aggregator. RT is, Revolver is largely an aggregator.
Yeah. Well, this reads on the RT article, amid a surge in COVID-19 cases, Gibraltar has canceled official Christmas events and strongly discouraged people from hosting private gatherings for 4 weeks. It's going to last longer than 4 weeks. Come on. Gibraltar's entire eligible population is vaccinated. I find that a little hard to believe, but...
Well, Gibraltar, what's the population of Gibraltar? It might be like 50,000 or something. It's not an independent country. It's a colony of Britain, and it's very small. It is a peninsula sticking out of the very southern tip of Spain, right where it's like almost connected to Morocco. So, and because it's high, you know, it's like got big high cliffs. It's been a place for many, many centuries where, ever since they've had cannons, where you're controlling the entrance between the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean. And that's why it's so strategic. And Spain has always wanted it back. And so there's bad relations between Spain and the United Kingdom over it. But yeah, it's a little British colony at the southern tip of Spain. And it's not very big. And so I'm not sure what the population is, but I think it's somewhere around 50,000. And the idea,
I was going to say, hey, maybe the Chinese could, send fake agents, fake protesters in Gibraltar to, try to push that.
Yeah.
Try to push Gibraltar, breaking away from England.
And yeah, I mean, that type of thing. Why not? Yeah, it's got a population of 33,691.
Okay. Well, the Christmas is canceled. Hugging, kissing, all of that's canceled for 4 weeks. Of course, it's going to go longer than that. So I think things like this, it's saying here that drastic increases in the numbers of people testing positive for COVID-19. At least they're saying testing positive instead of saying cases. It's a stark reminder that the virus is still very prevalent in our community. It's the responsibility of us all to take every reasonable precaution to protect ourselves and our loved ones. So, that's according to the health minister, Samantha Sacramento. Isn't this just the perfect case? Isn't this just the perfect example of the vaccine not only doesn't work, but makes it worse?
What we all know and what I'm afraid everybody's going to find out is that, yes, it makes it worse. It's been clear to us that it makes it worse, but it's going to be clear to everybody else, tragically, when it becomes undeniable that the vaccine is causing all of this heart damage and blood clots and damage to the immune system. It's a massive tragedy, people can close their eyes, but you listen to me now and think about it later. They're not here to talk. They're not here to help you. They're here to pump you up with a gene altering genetic therapy.
Take the vaccine now. Die with heart problems later. You do actually. It's more than just people testing. In some of these other countries it mentioned, Ireland says that 92% of the adult population is fully vaccinated. Now, Ireland has right around 6 million population. I remember that number because for some reason that number is always memorable. But I remember that the faggot brown prime minister of Ireland, the Indian, is pushing 1 million refugees into Ireland.
Yeah, you know that prime minister, he's a fake Irishman, so he is fake and gay.
For sure, but there, with 92% of those roughly 6 million people vaccinated, it says that deaths from the virus have roughly doubled. So not just testing cases, but people dying. Singapore, 94% of the eligible population have been inoculated. Cases and deaths soared to record highs at the end of October. By design, I would say. We talk about planning. I really think that's by design. I think that the people pushing this know what the vaccine does. It's going to make people sick. It's going to cause more deaths. Then they can turn around and justify more lockdowns because of the deaths and sicknesses, and then more vaccines. And it's just going to be never-ending.
Well, this segment of the show isn't never-ending, but we do have one more segment after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Back, and this is the time in the Jeremy and Patrick show where we read emails from our fans.
Yes. All right. Dear Dr. Slattery, thank you for your good humor and political insight. I'm writing in the hope of inspiring a theme for some of your shows. I think your audience is likely to be the vanguard of a political movement that will help preserve Western kind. Most of us have no experience in political analysis or activism. We don't know the theory, and we don't know what is effective political behavior and use of time. I hope that you can have some segments focusing on such matters with a view of better preparing us for and inspiring us into activism. As an example, let's take a possibly average listener who has had enough of big politics and want to do something to support the National Justice Party or the Patriotic Alternative. After joining their group, what should they start doing? Leafleting? What sort of leaflet should they create? How would they know the issues of concern to their local community? Nobody has a clue. If you are the only nationalist, you support... Oh, if you are the only nationalist, and I had to swap screens here, if you're the only nationalist that you know in your area, what sort of infrastructure do you need to build to have others coalesce into a group? If we just go into the street corner with a sandwich board, would that be useful or make us seem like nuts? Also, when you encounter the general public, they aren't very endearing, and that is demotivating too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I hope you can weave something like this into one of your shows. You and Jeremy are a great combination. I'm amazed you can do so much and have also a full-time job. Best regards, Neil. So I guess the question is, if we join these groups, like, what do we do? What's the best way to do political activism?
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, like, I have Mark Collett on, and I don't know if the Who wrote the letter? What was his
name? Neil.
Neil. I don't know if Neil listens to the shows I do with Mark Collett. Because Mark Collett, of course, he has the Patriotic Alternative, and he's good at this real-life stuff. And, you know, Nick Fuentes is doing real-life stuff. Of course, at age 23, his experience is necessarily a lot more limited than Mark Collett. Myself, I couldn't tell you comprehensively what should be done, but I'll tell you one thing narrowly is you have to learn how to petition to get candidates on the ballot. So like this NJP, if you want to help them, if they're going to run candidates, if they're going to be a party and run candidates in you know, different states, you have different requirements, but most states you have to have some sort of requirement in getting. And so learning how to go out, get people to sign a petition, even for somebody and a cause that they don't really fully understand, you just go out and you say, this petition, this allows the National Justice Party to have a candidate on the ballot. And they say, oh, well, everybody should be on the ballot. Or you can even say, this gives us the right to have a candidate on the ballot. And, oh, well, everybody should have that right. So that's one thing. Do we have time for another letter? Probably not, but do we have another letter? Hello? Well... I guess that's that. This concludes another exciting episode of the Patrick and Jeremy Show, and I'll be back again tomorrow. Jeremy, thank you for joining me. That's right, if we stay classy, again, well, we certainly will. Okay, that wraps up the show. Bye, everyone.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.